Praise God indeed. Good to see y'all back this evening. Hope everyone's doing well and expectations of a mighty move from God this evening. We're just looking forward to hearing His Word and just thank Him for allowing us just to gather together in His name. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Just want to just remember those that are traveling, those that are sick and shut in, those that aren't able to be with us this evening. I got a call coming in. We've got two, well, they're distant family, but one of them, the daughter came. She's been diagnosed with a positive diagnosis on COVID, so we're just asking her and her mom, keep them in a prayer. They're snickering at me. I know I said it wrong, but God knows. God knows. Have you had any other spoken prayer requests this evening while we're standing? All righty. Right. Anyone up on the roster?
Remember our travelers who are down in Florida.
Our travelers, that's
looking
right.
Looking at the
that's right. They're down there on motorcycles, too. That's right. Anyone spoken prayer request?
Sister Evelyn asked if we would pray for her. She sounds like she's got bronchitis.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Absolutely. God knows. And if you have a unspoken prayer request, just show by raising your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Brother Chris, would you lead us in opening prayer, please? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. While you're standing, she was playing this when we first came in. Turn to page 120. Victory in Jesus. Most of y'all know the words. I know we do it quite regularly. I love this song. There is victory in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
your seat if you can, but as you're sitting down, turn around and tell somebody there is victory in Jesus. Praise the Lord. We just love and praise Him. Yes, there is. All the prayers that go up, all the things that He already knows before we ever get there. There's so many victories. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering, and we'll prepare just for our service tonight and call on a few special singers. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all. Praise the Lord. God's great. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please? Amen. Amen.
Favorite. Shall lay down by the lamb.
that I am. Oh yes, there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there will be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me, for me.
Praise the Lord. Sister Karen and Sister Kylie, please.
Song. Small as I am, he loves me.
Yes, he does.
And he loves you. No respect of person. He loves us all. Black, yellow, white, red.
That's right.
He's the God of this universe, and He cares about every one of us. And I'm so glad that He's mindful of me. The scripture said, who is man that God is mindful of him? And I'm so thankful He's mindful of us tonight. And, you know, a lot of churches are closing down. A lot of them is not opening up but halfway to keep the bills paid. That's what I say. But anyway, I appreciate y'all having church on Sunday night. I do appreciate it. And the way I feel about it, now's the time for the church to do what it's supposed to do, the Great Commission. You know, we're supposed to take people to heaven with us. We're supposed to be a witness for Him. And I don't know, not too many people know this, but my wife and I have passed out over 20,000 tracts in the last 2 years. And I just thank the Lord for giving me the ability to do that. And if just one person gets saved, it'd be worth it all. Amen. That's what it's all about. And I just want to sing this song tonight because that's why Brother Eddie does what he does, because he wants us to reach the lost. Amen. Just like I do, just like you do. If you got the Lord in your heart, He wants us to be a witness for Him and get people saved. Go ahead, brother.
I came here to sing a song for Jesus. You may laugh and sneer as you walk out. What I'm singing may not suit your fancy, but I came to see a soul saved. Ain't that what it's all about? A different route. I don't know just what you came after, but I came to see your soul saved. Ain't that what it's all about?
when you're up on the mountain. Oh, and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But it's down in the valley of those trials and temptations. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Oh, when things go wrong, He'll make them right. The God of the good times is still God in the bad times. Oh, the God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith up on the mountain, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valleys, trials and temptations. Oh, that's where your faith is really put to the test. The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Oh, when things go wrong, I know He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. Oh, the God of the day, God in the night. Oh, the God of the day is still God in the night.
Amen. How many knows He's the same God? On the mountain, in the valley, whatever the situation. Maybe. And what a mighty God He is. Amen. Love all the wonderful singing tonight. If you love singing, you're going to love heaven. Amen. You're going to fit right in. And don't worry if you can't carry a tune now. You'll be able to when you get to heaven. I will assure you. We'll all be a part of that heavenly band. Amen. Looking forward to that day. Anybody in the house love Jesus tonight? Give Him a hand clap of praise. Glory to God. How many feel like the load that you're carrying sometimes gets a little too heavy? Amen. We've all been that way, you know. Aren't we glad that God said He wouldn't put more on us than we're able to bear? Sometimes we think it is, but we have that promise of God. This song says, I'll be all right as soon as I touch Calvary.
Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry. Don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know the place where all my load will lighten. I'll be alright soon as I touch Calvary. Touch Calvary.
That Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary, that through His precious shed blood, amen, we could have redemption for our sin-stained life. Amen. Do you love Jesus tonight? Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I love the songs tonight so dearly. Amen. It's good to know that we still got people that are concerned about lost souls in this day and hour that we're living in. And folks, there's a lot of them out there that needs our prayer, needs our attention, needs our love. Amen. Love still draws folks to the Lord. I appreciate the love of God, and I appreciate the love that the saints have to reach out to the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, we want to go to the book of Psalms in the 39th chapter. Psalms chapter 39, beginning with verse 1, and we'll read down through verse number 7 tonight. We desire your prayers, asking the Lord to just lead and guide us tonight as He would see fit. Pray that God will just open up the window of heaven, rain down that heavenly manna that we can be fed tonight. Amen. In the 39th Psalm, verse number 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how we love and thank You, God, for Your grace, Your mercy, Your abounding love. For those who have gathered here tonight, and Father, I pray, God, that You would just anoint and have Your way tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that You would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, this vessel is nothing more than an oracle and a messenger, God, that You can speak through tonight. God, I pray that this word would seek deep into our hearts. God, that it might produce growth and edification. Father, we do remember those who are lost tonight. And Father, we pray for a stirring of their hearts, God, convicting of their souls, God, to bring them to an old-fashioned altar of repentance. Father, we do pray for those who are sick and suffering, and those who are afflicted. Father, Your healing power would reach out to each and every one. And those who are traveling and may be in harm's way, Father, we pray for Your protection as well. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Juddy, for sharing with us that your appreciation for us opening the doors. And you know, I believe that, you know, like you said, if one soul comes to the Lord, it's worth it all. Amen. And I believe in the protecting power of God. We're trying to use as much knowledge as we possibly can during this terrible time that we're living in. But I still believe if we can go to the store and shop.
Come on now.
Amen. If we can gather in certain other places, public places, I think the Lord, amen, will spare us if we gather in the house of the Lord and use common sense and depend on His faith. So thank you for sharing that with us tonight. And we're just glad to be in the house of the Lord. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled, Don't Wait Any Longer. Don't wait any longer. And let me share with you tonight. As I began to read this afternoon, and I was reading through the Psalms, and the Lord reminded me of a particular verse, and I found it in verse number 7, and David asked the question of himself. He said, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." If nothing else, it sounds like David had a spiritual awakening. It sounded like to me that it was time to do something about the situation that he was dealing with, whatever it was. Now, he mentions a few things prior to this in the particular chapter that we're talking about. But if you follow David's writing in Psalm, and if you follow them and reference the Word of God in the book, the books that tell us in 1st and 2nd Kings and some of the Chronicles and all, and what David was involved in and some of the things that he had to endure and some of the things that he brought upon himself. How many knows that troubles come sometime without any advance warning whatsoever, but sometimes we bring these troubles on ourselves. I say we, generally speaking. Sometimes we kind of step out on our own and maybe not ask the Lord's guidance or not ask Him to lead us and guide us in a certain area. And some of these problems and troubles we bring on ourselves. And David was human, even though he was known as a man after God's own heart, had a special relationship with God. God loved David all the way back to his youth and to his childhood and had an anointing upon his life. But having said all of that, so many times we still find situations in our life where we err or where we kind of get in our own self or our own desires, our foolish desires, and maybe we miss out with the Lord a little bit. Whatever the situation was, it was heavy on David's heart. There was a burden that he was carrying around. And can I tell you today that many, many times we try to keep a good face about it. We try to go on and we try to worship and praise the Lord. And I'm not talking about being backslidden. I'm not talking about losing out with the Lord. I'm talking about these little things that in our heart, this contraband that we accumulate in our life over many, many years. And little things that sometimes cause us maybe to get our mind off of God and begin to look at situations. And David realized, you know what, I've had about enough of this. I've had about enough of Satan coming against me with things of the past and bringing up some of my faults and my failures. Let me tell you something, folks. There is not a one of us under the sound of my voice tonight that's perfect. It took blood of Jesus Christ to come into our life to purge us, amen, to cleanse us from our sin and from our our iniquity. Within our flesh, we could never make it. Within our works, we could never make it. But thank God for His amazing grace, amen, that even in our sinful nature, He loved us enough, amen, to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. But even in that, even being born again, even being a Christian and endeavoring to walk a Christian life, there are some things I think many, many times that it would do us very, very beneficial to purge from our life and to purge from our mind. So many times we find that Satan's greatest workhouse is the mind of Christians and how he comes against us with many, many things. And we talked about the other night, the weapons, the spiritual weapons that we have. Not only do we have spiritual weapons that are offensive weapons that we can go on the offense, but thank God because of the armor that God has protected us with, we have those spiritual weapons of defense as well. But still we find that David began to mention a few things. And one of the things he talked about was his tongue. Man, many, many times, the last thing that we're able to get control of through the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord is the tongue. Amen. So many times we can try to walk a righteous life. We can try to live a righteous life. But many, many times the tongue, the Bible speaks about being full of deadly poison, can absolutely hurt and in some cases spiritually kill folks. David realized that maybe he needed to bridle his tongue. And there were some other things that he began to address. But here's the point that I want to make tonight. Whatever those issues are in our life, now is the time. I believe with all of my heart, if there's anything in our life, anything that's in our way, now is the time to purge it. Now is the time to come clean with it and get it out in the open to the Lord. You don't have to confess it to me. You don't have to confess it to the church. But if there's something that's been keeping you back, something that's been holding you back from really, really giving your all to the Lord, I believe right now the things that we're seeing transpire on a daily basis lets me to know that the soon coming of the Lord is at hand. But that's a good thing. If you're born again, that's a good thing. If you're saved by the grace of the Lord, amen, that's a good thing to know that Jesus has gone away and prepared a place that where He is, we may be also. How many's looking forward to that day? A place where there's no more sadness, no sorrow, no crime, no distress, no issues of anything. Everything's going to be perfect over there. But right now, folks, while we still have an opportunity, while we still have that time, while we still have that ability to come with a broken and contrite spirit and a repentant heart before the altar of God, how many knows the God that we serve is plenteous in redemption? He's long-suffering, and He is forgiving. Man, but these little things that cause us to weigh us down and I saw the other night, I was watching one of the programs. I like to watch the anything that has to do with the outdoors. And this was something about Alaska. And this guy was, he was training, basically, not for the Olympics, but he was training because he knew that winter was coming on. And there's a lot of things that he had to exert a lot of energy. So one of his things was to run up the mountain. And he was going to scale down the mountain, I think, in one of these little parachute things or something. Then he was going to swim across the lake. But in swimming across this lake, he was carrying everything in his pack. He had already lightened it down as much as he thought he possibly could, only taking the bare necessities for this little journey that he was practicing. So he started out and he was doing pretty good. He had this thing on his back and maybe he had swam out about 30 yards and he started tilting over a little bit. And the weight of that was pulling him under a little bit. He swam maybe 10 or 15 more yards and finally he had to take that backpack off. He had to take it off because it was pulling him down. It was getting all of his energy. And had he not done something, it's very possible that when he got to the middle of the lake, it may have drowned him. It may have took his life. What he started out with, come on now, it didn't seem all that heavy. It didn't seem like maybe it was going to be that big of a burden. But the farther he got across that lake, the closer he got to the middle, he found out that, you know what? There's nothing in that bag worth drowning about. And can I tell you tonight, We may start off thinking that we can carry this heavy load. We can carry that little burden. We can carry those little things that come against us, or those little things that we thought had been hidden all of those years. But when the going gets rough, when we get into the middle of the lake, when the waters are overwhelming us, there is nothing worth losing our life over. And there's nothing worth losing our destination in heaven for. Now is the time to shred it. Now is the time to take it off. If we lose those things, we'll be better off for them. David said, what am I waiting for? What am I waiting for? He came to the realization that I put it off too long. I've carried this way, way, way longer than I need to. How many knows that we don't have to carry that burden? The Lord tells us through His Word, bring me every burden. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many knows that we can find rest in the Lord? I believe there's Christians today who are striving to live a good life, but they really can't get that spiritual rest because there's something still bugging them, something still dragging them down, and they don't want to let it go. But now is the time to purge it. To cleanse it from our life, to get ready, amen, for the coming of the Lord. What are we waiting on? I find so many times in people speaking with me, and I've heard time and time again, Pastor, I'm going to get in church. And you know, I don't want to be disrespectful, but you can get in church and still lose your soul. It's not just about getting in church. I want you to get church in you. Amen. I want you to get serving God in you. And the way you do that is you have to first of all admit that I can't do it by myself. There's no way I could be good enough. I could come and never miss a church service. I could sing in the choir. I could do all of these things, amen, that a Christian's supposed to do. But until I give my life to the Lord, until I repent of my sinful nature, until I get rid of all of this contraband, till I cleanse myself and purge myself, and the only way you can do that is through the Spirit of God, a broken, contrite spirit, and a repentive heart. Can you say amen? Have you been down that road? Aren't you thankful, amen? Didn't you feel a lot lighter? Didn't you feel like that heavy burden was gone? Praise God. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for, nation? What are we waiting for? Amen. Young person. Person who says, maybe when I get things right in my life, and I tell them very quickly, you'll never do it. You can't get things right in your life. I could never, ever. In fact, when I found out, when I tried to fix things, it usually got worse. But you know what? It took me realizing that I needed help. It took me realizing that I needed to have the Holy Spirit purge those things out of my life. And folks, don't get been out of shape or your toes stepped on. I'm not even necessarily talking about some of those vile things that Satan causes folks to do out there. I'm talking about these little bitty hidden things that are in our life. The little bit of animosity that becomes hatred. And that hatred left unchecked becomes a sin in our life. And you know, people having been hurt, whether in church, you know, some I just read recently, you know, people that was hurt in church, it wasn't God that hurt them. Amen. It wasn't God. Shame on us if we hurt somebody. Shame on the pastor if he hurt somebody. Shame on the saints if they hurt somebody in church. But you know what, folks? Now is the time to get past that hurt. Now is the time to get over that. Amen. Don't forget, God forgave us. We can forgive those who've hurt us. And rather than being upset with them, pray for them that God will purge those things out of their life and that we'll all be ready when the Lord comes or calls. And you know what? He may call tonight. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. For whatever reason, maybe it just got to a point where David couldn't stand it any longer. You know how it is sometimes when it starts to keep you awake at night. When it starts to affect your behavior. When it starts to affect your relationship with your loved ones or with somebody else. When you start walking in a miserable condition, you don't have the smile, you don't have that joy that you once had. And whatever it was, Brother Jim, it was nagging David every day. It was following him around. It was he said all of these things. He said, Lord, you know, just make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. It sounded like that he was getting ready just to give up. Amen. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to quit being in church. church. He wants you to quit working for the Lord. He wants you to throw your hands up and quit. But I got news for Satan. Amen. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. He's brought me too far. I know where my destination is, and it's because of the salvation of my Lord. David said, because that I may know how frail I am. Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. In other words, he realized how frail he was and how insignificant he was in this world, in this big scheme. But I want to tell you something. If the devil ever makes you think that you don't mean anything, that you're insignificant, and that you don't mean anything to God, absolutely, that is a lie from the pits of hell. If God didn't love you, in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves you. Amen. And he sees you. And he knows you. Everything about you, he knows about you. He knows those things that bother you. He knows those things that are problematic in your life. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get to the point where we're saying, you know what, I'm tired of toting it. I'm tired of it pulling me down. I can see that fellow swimming across that lake now, and he realized that he wasn't going to make it with that backpack, but he had to take it off. And he did make it. He drug it, but he didn't have it on his back. Sometimes, amen, there may be some things that we want to hold on to, but we need to get them off of our back. Amen. We need to get them under the blood of Jesus Christ. And David said, why wait I for? My hope is in thee. Listen, I never ever like to hear anybody say it's a hopeless situation. What they're saying is, I don't see any way out. What they're saying is, I'm up against a wall and I don't know. I'm just going to give up. But as long as we have breath and as long as there is a God, there is always hope. Amen. For the destitute, there's always hope. For whatever we're facing, I believe with all of my heart, my hope lies in the Lord. Amen. My hope is always going to be in Him. It's not anything I can do. It's not in anything my country can do. But it's all about what Jesus Christ can do for us. And our hope lies in Him. What wait I for? My hope is in Thee. We know that David continually had some of these things on his heart and on his mind, even when he was in a palace. Let me tell you something. You can be in the most wonderful place in your life. You can have things that you never imagined that you would have. Think about it. As David sat on the throne of Israel, and the wealth that was around him, and servants for everything. And he could probably remember how it was when he was out on his dad's sheep, taking care of his dad's sheep in the lower 40, so to speak. And there he was fighting lions and bears, trying to keep them from tearing the sheep up. Little did he realize that he would be sitting in the place of prominence that he was now. But let me tell you something. When we have these things around us, there is the more opportunity for there to be some things in our heart, in our life, that we need to purge from our life. The business world. I was in the business world for some 34 years with one company, and I realized there's some things, amen, that the business will place upon you that if you're not careful, it'll be contraband. It'll be weight in your life. Because they will ask or expect things out of you that God doesn't want you to have in your life. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, thank God for the workplace that you're at. But there's times, sometimes, that you're asked to do things or you're asked to say things that a godly Christian should not have to do. And you have to weigh those things out. And then sooner or later, if you do kind of err a little bit, Satan is all over you. He's all over you. About those little idiosyncrasy things in our heart and in our life. And again, what does the Bible say? It's the small foxes. Now, what it says on small vines that the foxes come. It's not the ones you pick off up there, the big fruit. It's the little bitty things that he comes at us and gnaws at us. And David realized, I'm tired of it. I don't know if anybody here under the sound of my voice tonight is tired of it. You're tired of facing those things. You're tired of dragging those things around. You're tired of those things constantly keeping you awake at night and keeping you from getting the really, really victory that you need into your life. And again, I'm not saying, I'm not even proclaiming, I'm not even trying to say whatsoever that you're in a backslidden condition. I'm just saying that you're trying to swim through a lake with a heavy burden on your back. And it's time to have those things purged. It's time to have those things taken away from us. And how many knows that God will do it if we'll bring them to it? Amen. David says in the 51st Psalm, verse number 7, sincerity. This was after a sin that David had committed, and it was weighing heavy on his heart and on his mind. And, you know, a lot of people are really, really quick to put David down, but one thing David knew how to do, he knew how to repent. Amen. Never, ever forget the ability and the need to repent for the Lord. Even if you're not lost, even if you had backslidden, if you just say, Lord, forgive me. For I have erred. Forgive me, Lord, for going down that trail. Forgive me, God, for saying what I did. David says here in verse number 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Sounds like to me he longed for that clean conscience again. Isn't it precious to have a clean conscience and be able to lay your head on your pillow at night and know that if you don't wake up, amen, you got a home in heaven. There is nothing in this world that can replace that wonderful feeling of having a clear conscience. He said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. I want you to look. David said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Don't read that as punishment. Don't read that as vengeance of the Lord. Thank God for His convicting power spiritually that breaks our bones. And had it not been for the powerful conviction power of God, I probably never would have made a move to the altar. But it was because His Spirit convicted me. His Spirit let me know that I was lost and undone, and that I couldn't make it by just sitting in the church service and clapping my hands. I needed to be born again. I needed to be filled with His Spirit. He broke my will. He broke my bones. He convicted me. And that's what David's saying. Not that God punished him, not that God hated him, but God loved him and convicted him. And then David says, please hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Can I tell you what an overwhelming burden it is to carry something and conceal it in your heart that you know needs to be brought out, that you know needs to be confronted, even affects small children. Many, many years ago, too many for me to even give you an account, but it was way before I was married, and I've been married a long time. But my brother and myself were old enough to be left at home, and Mom and Dad would go out and eat sometimes with another couple on Friday or Saturday night. And we were just fine with that. And because we were left alone, there's certain things that we would do in the house that we wouldn't do when Mom and Dad were there. And one of those things was in our den, there was a fireplace in the corner. It was a brick fireplace that went all the way to the ceiling, had the hearth there, and it was gas logs and all. But the thing about it, in that corner, there was a wide portion of brick. And what we would do, we would take a tennis ball, and I would sit in one corner of the den, and he would sit in the other corner of the den. Instead of us throwing the tennis ball back and forth to each other, it was more fun to throw it toward the brick wall, and then it would ricochet and come over to him, and then he in turn would throw it to the brick wall, and then it would come to me. We thought we were pretty good. And Mom had a clock that hung on the brick wall, and two of these ceramic candle holders that hung on either side. Being young, very naive, and a little bit stupid, we would try to see how close we could get to that clock between the clock and the candle holder. And we were doing pretty good. And I can't remember which one of us, but one of us, and it seemed like everything slowed down. It seemed like slow motion when that tennis ball left. It's either mine or his. It could have been mine, but whoever it was, we watched it, Brother Keith, and it just took its time, and we looked, and it headed right toward that candle holder, and it hit it. And that candle holder fell on the hearth, and it went into all kind of pieces. Have you ever done something and said, why in the world did you ever do that? Well, we looked at it. I'd like to say we prayed dearly over it, but we looked at it, and we took things into our own hands. There's a message here. We went and found the glue. We got down on our hands and knees, and the rest of the evening, we put every little piece that we could find back together. I mean, you really, from the naked eye, when you put it back up there, looked like nothing had ever happened. We were so pleased with ourselves. We were so happy. And we hung that thing up. And, of course, when Mother and Dad came in, you know how you are when you've done something. And I think they thought we had done something because we just hugged them. Did y'all have a good time tonight? Did y'all have a good dinner? What have you boys been up to? Oh, nothing. Nothing. And we never said a word about it. And for years, Mother never knew that candle was broken. But you know what? Every time I walked through that den and gazed up, I knew what had happened. And every once in a while, I just kind of, when nobody's looking, I'd go to see, make sure the glue was still holding. You know. And if it ever fell, we'd go, oh my goodness. But it was years later, after I got married, I finally felt a little safer then because I had a home to go to. But I went and I confessed to Mother. And I told her. I said, Mother, many, many years ago, while y'all were gone, Dennis picked up a tennis ball and thought, no, I didn't. I was purging it. I was getting it all out. Because I hadn't been convicted of it. Every time I'd look at that little candle holder, it would convict my heart. And I poured it all out. I said, Mother, it was our fault. We'd throw the tennis ball up there. And she said, y'all know better than be throwing a tennis ball in the house. I said, we do now. We do now. I was married then, like I said. I had Penny to help me, protect me. But then she started laughing about it. She said, well, y'all sure did do a good job putting it back together. And, you know, that's just a little bit. But you know how much cleaner I felt when I told her that? I felt like a whole burden had been lifted. And that's just a really small thing. That little ceramic thing, probably the worth of it was very, very little. But then God reminded me. Those little things that we've kept hidden in our heart and in our life. And, you know, we got by with it. You know, we can carry it pretty good. Doesn't bother us all that much, but it's still there. It's still there. And it got to be such a burden with David that he said, I want it out. Lord, I want you to purge it. Let me tell you something. When God purges it, he gets it all. He goes down to the root, and he gets every bit of it. All of the animosity, all of the hatred, all of the bitterness, all of those things that we've harbored, that we've carried in our life. When we confess and we say, Lord, I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. I'm tired of it. It's pulling me down. I'm drowning. I need to get rid of this weight. And we bring it and we give it to the Lord. And we feel so much better. And God just impressed on my mind and on my heart today how important it is in the timeline of things. If we've harbored it a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, that's way too long. Now is the time. Now is the time to get rid of it. Now is the time to lay it on the altar. Now is the time to let God purge it from our life. And you say, Brother Eddie, it's been all right for so long. It'll be all right till Jesus comes. Well, maybe it will. And I'm not saying it's going to keep you out of heaven. I'm not going to say that it's going to keep you, man, from the harsh judgment of the Lord. But I'm saying it's keeping something, it's weighting you down and keeping you from getting really, really the victory that you need in your life. And I'm not, nobody's told me anything. Nobody said anything. It's just that God has pricked it in my heart. And I want to do that. I want to do that. And I want to pray the prayer that my granny did. If I have done or said anything unbeknownst to me that has hurt or harmed anybody, Lord, purge it from my spirit. Purge it from my life. Because I want to get rid of it. I'll try to close with this. About 5 years ago, we moved to our present location, and we had been living at the other house for 30-something years. And it is amazing what you can accumulate in 30-something years at the same place. Not so much Penny, but me. I've been accused by my daughter of being a hoarder. And I don't think that I am. I just don't like to throw things away. You might need them sometime. And in my little buildings out there, I couldn't even get in the buildings. I had the buildings to put my lawnmowers in, and I still have my lawnmowers on the carport. Because they wouldn't fit, because I had so much junk in the buildings. I got a second building, put a ramp on it. You know what? Still couldn't put the lawnmower in there. I filled it up too. But when we got ready to move, my wife, bless her heart, said, we need to get one of those portable dumpsters. I'm not talking about one of the, I'm talking about one of those big ones. And throw away everything that we don't want to move. I said, that sounds like a good idea. What are you going to get rid of? She said, well, I got a good many things, but you got a lot. And let me tell you something, folks. It hurt. It hurt. I got to throwing away some really junky stuff. I did. And I was feeling pretty good about it. And she said, you know what? That dumpster's not even a third full. You need to fill that thing up. And I got to realizing, as Karen says, if you hadn't used it in 3 to 6 months, you don't need it. That stuff I hadn't used in 30-something years. I'm talking about paint. Paint that was absolutely hard as a brick when you opened up the lid. What are you keeping that for, Hall? Maybe put some thinner in there and get it going. No, you can't. You can't even penetrate that thing with a... Well, okay. But anyway, realized we couldn't put paint in there anyway. That's a whole other story. You got to take paint somewhere else. But if it's an empty can, you can do it. I was saving empty cans. What for? Because to put the paint in it and... You don't need it. You don't need it. So I began to throw those things away, and I really got involved, and I began to throw away some stuff that I really, on second thought, I probably, if that dumpster hadn't been taken off, I'd have probably went rummaging back through it and got it out. But the more I did it, the better I felt. The better I felt. And really, by the time that she and I got through, that dumpster was completely full. And, you know, you couldn't hardly miss it out of my buildings. I still had plenty of stuff to move. But you know what? I haven't missed it. I haven't missed it. Of course, I got a pretty good collection going after these 5 years in the other building. But I haven't missed what I threw away, what I've thrown away, and what I asked God. And I thought about that. And I thought about tonight. If God placed a spiritual dumpster here, is there anything in our life, in our heart, in our mind, in our relationship, that we can live without, that maybe has become a hindrance, something that we've held on to for years and thought that, you know, we could get along just fine without it, but all of a sudden we realize that we need to get rid of it. And I thought, we can't put a structure here, but in our spiritual mind, we can spiritualize a dumpster here, whatever you want to refer to it. God, here it is. I don't need that bitterness anymore. God, here it is. I don't need that anger anymore. I don't need that stumbling block anymore. God, I know you said I need to forgive. And you know what, God? I'm going to do that. I'm going to forgive right now. And I'm going to forget it. And I'm not going to bring it up again. It's going to be out. It's going to be clean. And I will assure you there will be such a cleansing process in our life when we say, purge me, Lord. Purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. God, I'm coming clean tonight. God, I'm laying down every weight, every sin, everything that does so easily beset me, and I'm ready to run this race, Lord. I'm ready to run until you call me home or until you come and get the church, whatever the case may be. Lord, I'm tired of dragging it around. It's too much of a weight. What are you waiting for? David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And he said, and now, what wait I for? The time is now. Oh, I know we'll say, you know what, I'll get over it. I'll get it right before Jesus comes. I'll get it right, next revival or whatever. There's no better time than the present. No better time than right now to lay that heavy burden down. And please don't be offended that I'm trying to say that we got sin and all in our life. I'm just trying to say these little old bitty things that have become a hindrance in our life, we'll be better off without them if we can purge them and leave them here at the altar. I'm going to ask the music if they would come tonight. I want to end with a song maybe and give an altar call tonight, give you an opportunity. You know, there's a misconception that the altar is only for unsaved folks. Well, it is certainly a good place for unsaved folks. But it's also a place for saved folks. It's also a place where we can come and rededicate and consecrate our life unto the Lord and lay aside every burden and thing that does so easily beset us. So tonight, if you have that longing in your life or in your heart, why don't you come and lay it down at the altar? Throw it in that spiritual dumpster tonight. Let's 164, if y'all want to sing along with me. Don't get it too high. 164 says, leave it there. Would you stand tonight? Would you worship the Lord? This is an altar call. This altar is wide open if you want to come. Whether you're saved, unsaved, whatever the situation may be. And if you just want to purge you, ask the Lord to purge you. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along in meager fare, some of you elders, come around and pray. Hallelujah. How he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Just leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there.